start this morning, this message part right now, with a test, everybody. Who's feeling smart this morning? Feeling like I could maybe ace a test in this moment? Of course you are, Eleanor. You're going to win this, and you absolutely will win this. So who's excited for a test today? Going to do a bit of a test, yeah? Great, great, good. Feel like a little bit book smart. We're going to add some numbers. No, we're not going to do that. So what we're going to do is I'm going to test your rhythm, everybody. I'm going to test your sense of rhythm. Hmm? Yeah? Hmm? Okay. So good. Now, don't worry. I'm not going to make you get up and dance or anything. We're Baptists after all. It's not going to happen. So, shots fired? I don't know. It's all right. So, what are we going to do? So we're going to make ourselves a little bit of a rhythm, everybody. So this is very, very convenient that we're sort of separated into sections here. So what I want to do is this side, you're going to do something, and then this side, you can just sit pretty for a second. So what we're going to do is a bit of body percussion, everybody. If you know what that is, we're going to do like some clapping and some slapping of the knees and some stomping of the feet. You're all looking at me with blank faces. It's going to be fun. So what I want you guys to do is this. Ready? We're going to do... You slap your knees, so pop your 2 feet on firmly on the ground. Yep, Requires full participation, everybody. We got this. All right, so you're just going to go slap, slap. Ready? Okay, I'm going to count you in. No. That was great. That was awesome. Well done. Okay, we're going to go, just follow me. Slap, slap. Slap, slap. 2, 3, 4. Slap, slap. 2, 3, 4. Slap, slap. Great. Sit there for a minute. All right. Hello, everybody over here. How are you going? Hi. Yeah, great. Awesome. So, okay, this is very difficult. Are you going to get this? Can you clap your hands? Just one clap. Ready? Clap. 2, 3, 4. Clap. 2, 3, 4. Clap. Oh, you got that. That's really easy. Okay. So, no surprises what we're about to do, everybody. Anyone? So, we're going to go, you guys go, and then you clap. And then you guys go, and then you clap. Ready? And we're going to do it like sight unseen. We're just going to be amazing at this straight away. Okay, ready? I'm going to count you in. We're going to go 1, 2, 3, 4. Slap, slap, clap. Slap, slap, clap. Yeah, go, Donald. Ah, very nice. Give yourselves a very big round of applause, everybody. Okay, we're going to do something a little bit more difficult. I'm going to come over this side, actually. We're going to make you do something more interesting than just clapping this morning. So you guys are going to get your feet stumps out. Hope you wore clicky-clacky shoes today. So what I want you to do, you're just going to do like a stump, 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 stump. Nailed it. Although I think a bit louder, if you can do it a bit louder, that'd be great. Oh, perfect. All right, take a rest, take a rest, take a rest. That's right. Don't overexert yourselves. So the injuries could be involved in this, guys. No. So we're going to do clapping on this side now. So we're going to go clap, 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 clap. Here we go. Yep. Great job, great job. Cool. Just take a rest, take a rest. So we're going to go stomp, clap, clap. Yeah? Yep. Mm-hmm. Ready? I'm going to count you in. 1, 2, 3, go! Hey! I'll keep going for fun. Very good. I'll give yourselves a big round of applause, everybody. Well done to you. I think we can safely say that most of us have rhythm. I don't want to be like blanket rule, everybody's got it, because, no, just kidding. You guys did amazing. Well done you. So good. Now, as you know, I have rhythm. I am the in charge of worship, after all. Although, maybe, no, just kidding. And I love a good rhythm. So give me a song with some kind of beat in it, and I'm there. Like, that is my absolute favorite thing. And I love music. And I love playing music. And I really love singing. But I remember I learned a lot of instruments as a child. As you know, my dad was and is also a worship pastor. And he taught me piano from age 5. And I learned all sorts of things. And I remember learning classical piano as a child. And I remember kind of hating it a little bit. I think probably a lot of us would have learned a bit of classical piano as a child. Did anyone else? Yeah? Yeah, cool. Nice. And I remember learning these pieces, right? And I would sit there and I would just like watch it on the page. And I really didn't like the part where you had to learn the piece because I couldn't feel it. I couldn't feel the rhythm of what was happening. So for me, it was just like notes on a page. And that the time that it took between getting it to be notes from a page and kind of like into myself, I like to say like, until I could feel it in my bones, I really didn't like the music. Like I really, my favorite thing, excuse me, about music is always just the feel of it. So until I could feel the dynamics and the cadence and everything of what was going on, I didn't enjoy it. But so music is like 100% about feel and about rhythm and everything for me, and I love it so much. And for me, it's not music until I can feel it. And I feel like some of the musicians in the room might agree with me there. I love it so much. And since we've tested our rhythm, this has gotten me thinking a little bit about life and the rhythms of life. And what does that have to do with becoming more like Jesus? Which is what we're talking about at the moment, right? So we're becoming, like we're talking about the Christian life is about becoming more like Jesus. That we are and we always will be. If we believe in Jesus, we'll always be becoming more like him. That he makes us into a new person and he draws us closer to being more like him as we go through our lives. And in fact, we'll never actually arrive there. Because if we did arrive, if we were exactly like Jesus, then we would be Jesus, right? Yeah. See, I believe that God designed life to have a rhythm. He designed life to have a rhythm. And we all have a rhythm in life. We all have a preferred rhythm. So like a pace that we would like to live at, a pace that we prefer to live our lives at. And how do I know this? It's because we can feel it when we're out of rhythm. Yeah? We can feel it when we're out of rhythm. So some of us like to live at a fast pace and take everything really fast and one thing after another, and that's really good for you, but others of us like to take life at a bit of a slower pace. We like to ruminate on things and have time to smell the roses and go and be out in nature and other such wonderful things. We all have a preferred rhythm in life. And maybe the season that you're in right now is actually requiring you to live at a rhythm that's different to what you would prefer. So maybe the life that you're living is at a really fast pace and you would much rather be living at a bit of a slower pace. Or perhaps it's actually the other way around, where you feel like life's not quite picking up in the way that you would like it to in the rhythms of what you're doing with your day to day. And when life is out of rhythm, when it's out of routine, we know it and we feel it and we feel like we're a little bit off balance, like a little bit skew-whiff. We're not really sure what's happening and maybe something happens in our world that throws our rhythm off. Like, for example, a worldwide pandemic or something at work changes. Maybe the pressure gets a little bit too much and something's kind of got to give. Maybe it's the things that we long for in our lives that we just don't seem to be getting. There's a whole host of things that can throw us off our rhythm, that can cause us to feel like we're a little bit off kilter and that we don't have the rhythm. And any and all of these things can make us feel like we're overwhelmed with the rhythm of life. Maybe it's out of frustration or it's out of desperation. And sometimes we may not even realize why we're feeling a little bit overwhelmed. And today I want to suggest that it's about the rhythms of life. It's about the rhythms of life. And it's about finding our preferred rhythms. But not only that, it's actually finding the rhythm of becoming. And if I was going to title this anything, it would be Finding the Rhythm of Becoming. And when I say becoming, I mean becoming more like Jesus, because that is our goal. And I thought, what's the best place to look for rhythms if we're looking at becoming like Jesus? Well, it's Jesus. So we're going to look at Jesus today, and we're going to look at Matthew 14, the feeding of the 5,000. Perhaps you know this story. And if you've never heard it, here's what happens. So what happens is Jesus was, not sure if you know this, but he was a particularly popular person. He was very popular, and he had heaps of people following him around. And in fact, he had enough to make up 5,000 people. And in fact, in this passage, it actually says that that was actually only the men in the crowd. So there was women and children as well. So it was actually probably more like 10,000 plus people who were following Jesus around. And what would happen is they would kind of hear where he's going and then jump on that and follow him wherever he needed to go. Can you imagine being followed by 10,000 people? I mean, that's a little bit stressful. I would find that really stressful. In this story, in Matthew 14, it says, I'm just going to give you a little synopsis. We don't need that one yet. Sorry, Clem. In a minute, we'll get there. It says that it was evening time and the crowd had gathered around him, and his disciples said, send the people away so they can buy food for themselves. Now, that's important. Let's remember that. Put a pin in that one. And Jesus is like, that's not necessary. You feed them. And the disciples are like indignant. They're like, but Lord, we've only got 5 loaves and 2 fish. What do you expect us to do with this? Like, come on, Jesus. What's happening here? You know we've got like nothing to feed these people with. And he says, bring it to me. And then he blesses the food, and then 10,000 people get fed. Isn't that amazing? It's a pretty insane kind of a story. And if I can go on like a little bit of a rabbit trail of something that I learned this week, which I thought was really interesting. Remember I said it's really important that the people could buy food for themselves. It actually says in there, send them away so they can buy food for themselves. And that's important because these people actually had the means to buy food for themselves. But Jesus still did the miracle. And it's remarkable because much of Jesus' ministry, as we'll see in a minute as well, is that it was to the poor and the sick and the hungry and the outcasts of society. But as far as we know in this passage, I encourage you to go read it at home, these people were none of those things. They had enough means to buy the food for themselves, but Jesus still did the miracle. That's pretty cool. And I've thought, like, what does that tell you about the generosity of Jesus? What does that tell you about our God? I think that's amazing. And this is an excellent story. Imagine just being able to feed 10,000 people from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Incredible. Incredible. But what I want to pay attention to more is actually the in-between bits. What happens before and after this passage? See, Matthew 14 is a 3-part chapter. There's 3 different things that happen in it. And what we're going to look at today is actually the in-between. The in-between. Are you with me?
Yep.
Awesome. So in the first part of the chapter, we find out that John the Baptist, who was a prophet, his job was basically to make the way straight for Jesus, prepare the way for Jesus. And we find out that he's in prison. He's been imprisoned for his faith and for preaching the gospel of Jesus. And Herod, he's the ruler of the land, which happened to be Galilee, and he actually calls for John the Baptist to be beheaded. Stay with me, it's a bit gory. And don't let anyone tell you the Bible's not interesting, because, my goodness, it's disgusting. He has him. So Herod has John the Baptist beheaded, and he has, because his daughter wants him to, so at the urging of her mother, because she didn't like him. And so it actually says in Matthew 14, verse 10, it says, his head was brought on a tray and given to the girl. Gross. But Jesus hears about this. And this is what it says in Matthew 14, verse 13. It says, as soon as Jesus heard the news that is about John the Baptist dying, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. So that's them following him. Jesus saw the huge crowd and he stepped from the boat and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And then he feeds the 5,000, well, 10,000 plus. But when Jesus heard the news about John the Baptist dying, he retreated to be alone. He retreated to be alone. See, Jesus deeply loved John. John the Baptist, like, he devoted his life to Jesus, to preparing the way for this Messiah that was Jesus to come. This is what he did. And we don't know actually what he did when he went to be alone. Maybe he went to pray. Maybe he went to process what was happening. It actually only says that he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. We're not sure what he did, but he went to be alone. And this is the first thing that he does as soon as he hears it. This big event has happened. John the Baptist has just died. And he goes, everybody leave me. I'm going to go be alone. And then there's another thing that's about to happen, which is feeding the 5,000. But what happens after he feeds the 5,000 is even better. Verses 22 and 23, they say this. Immediately after this, after he's fed them, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. By himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. See, Jesus had very little time to rest or to spend time away from people. You know, being their equivalent of a famous person back then, everywhere he went, thousands of people followed him. And I imagine it would have been very difficult for him to get any kind of alone time. And so he had to be very intentional about it. He was very intentional. And this time, actually, it tells us that he's going alone to pray. To pray. And right after this comes the third part of the chapter, which, if you've been to any kind of Sunday school, you know Jesus walking on the water. But what we start to see here is there's this rhythm in Jesus' life. There's a rhythm in his life, and he's cultivating this rhythm in his life, in the in-between. So John the Baptist dies, he goes to be alone. He feeds the 5,000, he goes to be alone. And then he goes and walks on water and does that miracle as well. See, Jesus had a rhythm to life. And we see this all throughout the Gospels, actually. He went away to pray, to be alone, even and especially in really stressful situations. We read in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's there and he's left his disciples to go alone to pray. And he is so stressed that he's sweating blood. But he is there and he's praying. He's taking time alone. And this is his rhythm. It seems to be that he will do something and then come back to be alone. And even it says that Jesus himself took a Sabbath. In Luke 4, verse 16, it says he went to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. This is what Jesus did. His rhythm was intentional, and it seems that we're seeing this pattern in his life. So he would give out by doing a miracle, and then he would retreat. He'd be constantly surrounded by people to the point that he actually had to ask them to go home. Like, please leave me alone. I need time with God. And he was a very busy man. Yet he lived his life with a very intentional rhythm. A very intentional rhythm, which included a lot of time staying connected to God, which I find fascinating because Jesus himself was God. Yet he took time out to spend time with God. Isn't that great? And you know what? This is the thing about Jesus, is he was only ever interested in living life at God's rhythm. He's only ever interested in living life at God's rhythm. And I think that God made life with a very intentional rhythm. And it's a rhythm for our enjoyment. Like, I think life is supposed to have a rhythm. It's supposed to have a cadence, which is just a fancy word for rhythm. But it sounds kind of beautiful, doesn't it? Yeah. And I think that there is a rhythm to becoming. There is a rhythm to becoming the people who God wants us to be. And the rhythm of becoming is a rhythm that makes us into the people who God wants to be. And who better to get that rhythm from than Jesus? Because he is the one who we're trying to be like, right? So this is the rhythm of becoming. This is the rhythm of becoming. If you're taking notes, this is where it's at. So what does this passage tell us? It tells us that becoming happens, first of all, in the in-between. It happens in the in-between. In the in-between moments when we take time out to be with Jesus. Let's not be, you know, our life is busy. It's full. It is very, very full. And so often we may find like life is just bursting at the seams and something is gonna burst at some point in time. But becoming happens in the in-between. It's about taking time to process, time to be alone with Jesus, with God, like even Jesus did, and to process the things that we're learning. Becoming happens in the in-between. And this is the second thing. Becoming happens as we get to know Jesus, as we get to know him. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30 in the Message version is just beautiful, and it says this. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I feel more calm even just reading that. It's beautiful. This is the rhythm of Jesus. And becoming happens as we get to know him. It says, get away with me. Knowing Jesus, spending time with him in the chaos of life, spending time in close proximity with him. We know that that's how you get to know somebody. You spend time with them. You listen to them. You listen to who they are and what they like. What are their interests? What do they not like? And you get to know them that way. You know, we are all very busy people. I already said that, but we're really busy. And so often it does feel like things are bursting at the seams, but may we never be the people who let go of Jesus to make room for something else in our lives. May we never be those people, because we need him. And becoming happens as we get to know him. We get to know him by spending time with him. It's this natural progression. This is what happens. And then we become more like him. You know, the more time you spend in someone's presence, the more time you act like them. The more time you hear me saying so good, you'll all be saying it very soon, right? Real life example. And it says in here, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Unforced. Oh, beautiful. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. And another translation in the NLT says this. It says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Becoming happens as we get to know Jesus, as we get to know him. And this is the third thing, because good things always come in threes. And becoming happens when we apply the word. This is where the rub is. When we apply the word, it says, walk with me and work with me. So it's really nice to listen to the word and to open it up and be encouraged by it, to read it ourselves and really read it, because it's kind of a nice and uplifting book to read, you know, depending on what part you read. But it's really nice to do that. But how often do we think about it once we've left church? Or when we shut our Bibles? How much do we still think about it? How much do we apply it to our lives? And we might feel good about what we're learning, but you know, Sunday's a busy day. We'll be off going to sports. We'll be off having family lunches. And quite often, honestly, we just forget. Because it's true. We forget there's so many other things going on. We might feel good about what we've learned and feel uplifted and stuff, but that's not where it stops. We need to actually do the hard work of applying it as well. You know, I read something this week that says wholeness comes when we apply the word. It's not enough to just read it. We've got to apply it. We've got to listen and apply it. If I can go back to my musical analogy, there's a difference between rhythm and applied rhythm. So it's really nice to know a song and listen to it and enjoy it, but it's actually a whole other thing to play it. It's a completely different thing to transfer it to your hands and your feet and to play it, or to your voice. They're two different things. And this is why drumming is hard, right? Because you're using all four of your limbs. This is why we admire people like Mark and Sam who can do it so well. Because there is a difference between listening to it and playing it. But my goodness, when you play it, it is beautiful. And when you get it right, when you take the time to apply it and to play it, there is nothing more satisfying. And that is how Jesus makes us like him, is when we apply the word. Becoming happens when we apply the word in our lives. Not just listen to it, but apply it. So maybe in our life, we've got our preferred rhythms, and we're really tempted to set our own rhythms. And so often we'll go through life and it feels like we get like pushed off our rhythm. But I want to say today that becoming means doing life at God's rhythm. It means doing it with the unforced rhythms of grace. And you know what? Becoming is actually less about us finding our preferred rhythm. Because that's the temptation, right? If our rhythm is off kilter, we feel like, oh, I just need to get back in line, and I just need to find my rhythm again in life. So becoming is actually less about finding our own preferred rhythm and more about finding God's rhythm for us, because there is a rhythm to becoming. There is a rhythm to becoming. And I wonder if you feel like you're in the chaos right now and you feel like, well, this is just another thing to add on top of my ridiculous schedule. But I do want to say this. It is time well spent. But even more than that, I want to say, and we see this all throughout the scriptures, right? I want to say that when we choose to spend the time with Jesus and in the Word, getting to know Jesus, being in his Word, applying his Word, then the rest will follow. The rest will follow. And the rest of life becomes way more manageable. This is what I've found in my life. If I've been like crazy running around doing a lot of things and I haven't spent any time to be with Jesus, and I feel like, oh gosh, you know when that anxiety kind of starts to build up and you're feeling like it's just a bit much and you feel like you might explode a little bit, but that's so counter to what we would naturally do, I think. When I sit and I spend time with Jesus, everything else just falls away. And I feel like I can manage life and the things that he is calling me to do way better. And so I want to give you an opportunity to apply this right now. Perhaps your rhythm feels a little bit off kilter today. Perhaps you feel like maybe you're playing to one rhythm and the other people in your life are playing to another. I feel that we could use this analogy forever. But you know what? There is a rhythm to becoming. And I want to give you an opportunity right now to apply it. And I thought I would really love to just pray this verse over you. Matthew 11, 28 to 30, but the Message version. And maybe when we're in this moment, you can just, whatever you need to do to center yourself right now with Jesus, do that. Maybe shut your eyes. Take a breath. He is here. He wants to speak to you this morning. Are you tired? Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me, Jesus is saying. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Jesus says, I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I feel like God wants to bring some freedom this morning. Perhaps that is you. You feel that you've been carrying heavy burdens. And you want that freedom that God brings. You want to learn and know the unforced rhythms of grace. I feel like God is saying, I will take your burdens this morning. Lay them down. I will take them. Get away with me. Today you will recover your life. If that is you this morning, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stand where you are. I think there's a beautiful thing that happens when we stand. And as you stand, I invite you to let go of those burdens. Just let them fall to the ground. Let them fall away. Jesus says, come to me and you'll recover your life. If that's you and you've been feeling like you're carrying so many heavy burdens right now, like the rhythm of your life is just weighed down by burdens, by unmet expectations, by the things in your life that you can't control, but you sure wish you could. Jesus is saying, come to me. I will take your burdens. If that's you, I invite you to stand right now, just wherever you are. Everyone's going to have their eyes closed. No one is watching. Stand up. God sees you. God wants to bring freedom in your life this morning. He's bringing freedom right now. As you stand, just imagine those burdens falling to the ground. And you're being filled again by the unforced rhythms of grace. He says he won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. He is here. Burdens are falling to the ground. And God is bringing freedom. God is bringing freedom in its place. Anyone else? Right now. If you're on the edge, just do it. I promise you it'll be worth it. Get up. Let God take your burdens. He's going to show you how to live freely with him. Yeah, so good. Father, I believe in this place that you are taking burdens from people. Thank you that you are a God who is big enough for our burdens, God, and we just take a moment to lay them on the ground and to take you up instead, God. You are here, Father. God, I believe you are bringing freedom to each person who is standing right now, freedom in their life in Jesus' name, freedom from the burdens that are weighing them down. Freedom, God, that only you can bring. You know each person's story. You know what it is, God, that they need to lay down right now. Lay it down at the foot of the cross. He is here. He is bringing freedom in your life right now in Jesus' name. There is freedom in this place. Thank you, God, that you are the God who won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on us. You are the God who brings freedom and peace. So for each person who has responded in this moment, God, I pray peace, I pray freedom. And I invite invite you, if you're standing right now, to just receive it. Receive the peace of God. He is giving it to you right now. Receive his freedom. He will show you how to live freely and lightly. And as you walk out of here, may you leave those burdens behind and know that God has got you. That God has got you. That he is with you, that he is bringing freedom, and that he is making you to be more like him. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can take a seat. That is amazing. I think God has brought some freedom this morning. You know, we believe in a God who says exactly that. He doesn't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on us, that he loves us and he brings freedom in our hearts. And can we thank God for the freedom that is brought this morning? Thank you, God.